All right, yeah. Listen up.
Turn the other way.
Shut your mouth. Dial name is Mr. Roy. R. Oh, why? It's not that fucking hard, you fucking imbeciles.
Oh,
all right?
Wow, there you are, dude. We've been looking all over. What are you? Are you teaching this class?
Yeah. Well, a teacher wrote in and wanted advice on how to be a better teacher, and so I crawled in through his window. It's a ground floor thing, and I figured it's better to show than to tell.
Yeah, but you're not a teacher.
No.
Yeah, I know.
I think a better idea would be if we gave this guy some advice, not took over his class uninvited.
Shut him! I'll fucking kill you all!
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
All right. Come on, Ben. Yeah, come with us. We got a podcast.
And you kids... You gotta work on your lockdown drills. You can't let Ben's in through the window. Come on.
Seriously, dudes. Eyes and ears. We're getting big. Our worries are nixed. Has the king. Walk the trolley's sick. We're getting big. Our worries are nixed. Has the king. Walk the trolley's sick. We're getting big. Our worries are nixed. Has the king. Walk the trolley's sick. You are listening to the internet's premier podcast for people named Tyler. If you can find a podcast out there with more Tyler listeners, I'll tell you what, take a picture of it, send it to us, and we will beat that by 30%. We will add Tyler's at no expense to you, the listener. This is the Grolic Saves the World. My name is Adam Caton Holland.
I'm Ben Roy.
And I'm Tyler Tyler. See, I'm already giving us a head start.
Yes, extra bonus Tylers.
Yeah.
This is a podcast about bettering your world. And if you're named Tyler in this world, you're welcome for this podcast. Because
your world's
it
already
better.
Aces. You got the best name on the planet, Tyler. It's crazy.
An easygoing name.
I mean, I remember
easy
this,
to say.
Yeah.
Nice to hear it.
Nice to spend time with Tylers. I always love hanging out with a Tyler.
Oh, I love a Tyler. Tyler's a wild man that'll just fucking...
Nobody says no to a Tyler.
Nope. Tyler doesn't take no for an answer either. You're like, Tyler, I can't go back out on that road with you. I can't go down that road. And Tyler pushes you down that road. And Tyler says, you got more in you. Tyler will get that
but
extra 20%.
But in an encouraging
20%.
Way.
Yes.
In
it's
an
not
encouraging
a creepy
way.
Way. Tyler will get that extra 20% performance out of you. That's 100%. What a Tyler does.
And 100%
that's
the
Tyler
20%.
Bump. It's quantifiable.
Yeah,
they call it the Tyler bump.
You could just say it 120%.
Right, because I was saying 100% to you saying Tyler will get 20% more out of you. So just to save time, we could say 120%.
120%. That's how we have to say it when addressing Tyler's. Tyler. And that's how it works. You know,
that is how you... That's simple. That's how you get the Tylers into the pod, everybody.
How are you guys doing? This is I feel like I haven't seen you guys in a little bit. It's good to see your faces.
Here we are.
It's been a week since I've seen your faces. It's nice.
Here we are.
Oh no, I saw you on Saturday.
Yeah. Should we talk about the heckler on Saturday?
Oh, we had a Grolic's heckler. Let's talk about that because normally Grolic's crowd, best crowd in the comedy game. I'll tell you what, we are spoiled, rotten. With our Grolic crowds at our live show at the Bug Theater. I mean, so good. Great crowds.
No, we are
exactly
spoiled to the point that like the people behave well. They're smart. It's a good audience. Everybody who comes in to play the shows is just like, man, this is what a refuge. And I think we've gotten spoiled. We forgot that people are dumb and they don't know how to behave.
Well, it's also
at comedy shows.
Yeah. I think it's also... like indicative now, the heckling or people chiming in of the clip culture. Like,
I couldn't agree more.
There are a few people who have done crowd work very well in their lives. And then every shitty comic on the planet now has been like, that gets you likes, talking to the crowd, having some lazy, boring exchange with somebody in the crowd. Gets you likes. I'm going to sell my soul to this, even though I fucking hate it. And I'm not that.
Also,
fucking
it's
good
a
at
way
it.
To generate comedy clips without burning your material. No one is prolific enough to be able to generate material at the pace of social
five
media. So you
week.
Have to resort to crowd work clips if you want to be cranking out clips daily, every other day. So sadly, I think that's part of it too. It's just, you can't.
It does. It sucks. You can't. And I'm going to tell people comics would just, I'm speaking for everybody, but I would say after all of this time of doing it and having a fair amount of success, I would just prefer to get up on stage and tell my material. Just do my jokes. 100%. I just want to do my jokes that I've written. I don't want to shit out a plastic bag of my neck and gizzards for you to enjoy the crappy part. It's the crappiest part of the set. It's like,
it's the neck and the innards.
It's the shit that's like, you know, like it's included.
It's filler. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. And a lot of times it's like just small talk. Yeah. You two, together, you on a date, who gives a fuck, dude? Like no one bought tickets being like, I want to know if those two over there are a couple. I've been staring at them all night. Are they a couple? Are they here together? That's what I just spent $22 to find out.
If only some truthsayer could get to the bottom of this. Yeah.
But I disagree, because I think what we're seeing is, I mean, I know, like, audiences do love it when you get into the crowd and you start fucking with them, or you do something. They eat it up. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but they also love hearing jokes that you prepared ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
They
I'm not saying it can be a whole set. I'm just saying they like it, because I think, I truly believe that people honestly believe that 90% of the time, the vast majority of the time, this is shit that the person is coming up with off the top of their head. And when you see people who are prolific with this, that is not the case. That's not the fucking case.
It's crazy how predictable these rhythms are, that you have so many stock responses that you can ask a random person in the crowd and something. You will see, yeah, the same lines come out and come up, and you're like, wow, conversation can be that predictable, where you can just talk to a random person in the crowd and be fed the setup so you can deliver your like sweet dunk on them that you've delivered 200 times to other crowd members. It's bizarre, but I think all of us have seen that. I know we've seen it from local comics here in Denver.
Yeah, you see it from a particular, it got popular from a particularly annoying ginger comedian who loves to own hecklers, and he loves to post his videos of doing that, and he's never really owning it. It's just lazy fucking garbage, and it drives me fucking crazy, and I don't care. I don't care if any of them get upset about it. Like, fuck you guys. You're ruining stand-up comedy by posting this shit. And so ended up happening, like, fucking somebody at the Grolic show just started shouting out. And
from the start of the show, and it was, and this, yeah, it was this woman, and she was just like, she said, she would say things like it started out with Tanya Sabrina, who was on the show, started talking to her. And Tanya's like a one-liner comic. She doesn't want to do this shit. She wants to have her one-liners out there. She's got a great cadence, like keep the one-liners going. And this woman starts yelling shit at her. So Tanya has to sort of address it to like get through the moment back to the show. And then by the time I'm on stage, this woman's just like full tilt, unhinged, yelling shit. And I can hear her murmuring like during my entire bits. So I just hear this like voice in the background, and I can see sections of the audience like looking at her. And so there was this one joke I did that couldn't have been more classic comedy. It was just like setup, pause, punchline. It was just like a very by the book joke. And I did the setup, and there was a pause, and I start the punchline, and she like yells some shit out right then.
That's the fucking worst.
Yeah. And it was like, so now my punchline has been, half the crowd didn't hear it because they heard your dumb shit. You like ruined it. And we do 10 new minutes of jokes every month. So like, we're in our heads about this. We're really trying to sell you this material. It's new. It's not like polished yet. So I needed the generosity of silence. And this woman just couldn't do it. So I had to just unload on her and tell her to shut the fuck up. Then I also learned this woman was like sitting in front of behind my wife, and my wife was shushing her, and she was like threatening my wife. It was just like, who? Okay, to this person, and if you're listening, don't come to my show. Don't come to the Grolics.
But here's the thing. Then I learn after the show that this person is on my comps list.
Yes, it was like, it was a comp.
Somebody that my roommate's friend knows that my roommate had never met, who did all this. And that's an especially shitty fucking thing to do.
Wow. I've had that happen. I comp people into the Comedy Works, and my friend brought a bunch of their friends, and they got so drunk they got kicked out.
Yep.
And they were on my guest list. And I was, I mean, that feels the worst.
Yeah, that's
you're poisoning
a
your own
level
well.
Of shitty and unappreciative. And
as Alex,
yeah. definitely.
As Alex, who runs the bug, said after the show, worst comp ever. He's like,
yeah.
let's put her photo out and just put worst comp ever beneath it.
Worst
yeah.
comp
I
ever.
I don't understand
wow.
that. If somebody gave me a ticket to a show that they're performing on,
maybe that's part of the problem. It has no value for you because you got it for free.
Yeah.
So
we've
it's
all
like,
been
okay, what do I care?
Shows. This person's just a monster. Behave well, tip well. You got a free fucking ticket. If
and
you're
for people
to the...
listening yeah, out ahead. There, and for people listening out there, you are not helping stand-up shows by fucking heckling. Listen, if the comic is a crowd work comic and is talking to you, I fully understand that. That is not the same as just barking shit during the setup of somebody's joke. Like, that is not the same thing. This is totally different. And it drives me fucking crazy.
And if the comic wants you to talk, you will know. They'll ask you. They'll engage with you. Then that's the only time you should talk during a show is if the comic wants to talk to you. And you will know because they'll come at you, not the other way around. So as a lesson, generally
Or they'll
speaking,
ask a question.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I have parts of my set where I've asked the audience specific questions and asked them for like a specific answer. It's great. And then they can answer and you can have, you can chat a little bit about it and then, you know, you move on. It can happen in a totally normal, you know, participatory way. It doesn't need random yelling from out in the darkness. Like what?
Yeah.
What?
It's the equivalent of talking during somebody's backswing. You know what I mean? You're like, there's this moment where I'm generating power here, motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway,
that's a good analogy. I like that. But let this be a PSA. Don't talk at Grolic shows. Don't talk at any comedy show unless spoken to. That's just the general fucking rule. And you know who would never do something like that?
Public performance.
Tyler. A Tyler would never do something like that.
No, you don't find that from Tyler. There's no Tylers know the etiquette. They're enforcing the rules in the crowd on their own.
Absolutely.
Tyler is the one that turns around and is like, shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Tyler's always got your back.
Yeah. And your front. So,
he's covering your 12 and
whatever
your six,
that means,
that Tyler.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well,
speaking of asking questions, an appropriate forum for asking them is this podcast. We are blessed with listeners who want our advice because we are experts in everything. How much more do we have to fucking prove to you to let you know that we are experts in everything?
We have combined over 100 years. Of doctoral experience, as well as collectively 17 honorary degrees from various reputable learning institutions.
Some of
it
us
is crazy.
Are in academia still. Some of us are in the field practicing. The point is, there is so much expertise and teeth oozing out of this podcast. You'd be a fool not
expertise.
To write us for anything you need help
yeah.
with.
As Adam said, some of us are still learning, Andrew.
Yep.
Some of us are on faculty.
Yep.
And some of us are still in the lab with a pen and a pad trying to get this damn label off.
That's right. That's
you know?
100%
and
right.
And that's, yes, I'm doing research. So this is going to be great.
I'm at the university, but I haven't got tenure because I haven't published lately. And that's not a good look. So I am desperately trying to get articles published.
You've got publishing fright. You've always had publishing fright. You just hover the mouse over the publish button and you're like, I can't do it. Save draft. That's what you do. You save draft.
Yep.
But anyway, we do have another question. We have another question from a listener, and I'm loving these, folks. Keep sending them in. We'll answer your questions.
Let's hear this letter. Let's lower the Ron shield. Ron, if you can unscroll the letter that we received. Thank you.
Oh, there he is.
Yes. Keep lowering it. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Ron.
Hello. Good to see you. And I think
you're so,
this will be
you're
the new
so
trend.
Dewy
this will be the
this
new
morning.
Trend. Ron will read the letters because once again, the three of us cannot read. But Ron will read the letter and we will then offer our expertise.
And Andrew
honorary is how Ben said
expertise.
It. Honorary.
Yes, we have expertise.
That have expertise.
Yes.
Yes.
Andrew,
yes.
Ron, Andrew
significant
mentioned
expertise.
That's right. You are glistening, Ron, as the dehumidifier in your cage gone out again because you are wet, quite wet.
I was doing Pilates.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Thank you. Nice. Well, hit us with this letter. I'm excited. What do we got? What do we got?
Okay, so this is a letter from Patrick. Patrick's from Montreal. He says he's been a fan from the beginning and continues to find comfort and, I'm not overstating, just joy from this podcast. Oh, thanks, Patrick.
I like Patrick already. Patrick, right up there with Tyler's for my money.
I agree. I think we should shift to be a podcast for Patrick's.
Podcast for Patrick's.
We'll take a Patrick.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as well as Tyler's, but I'm...
Can we just talk about how wonderful Canadians are? What a great set of neighbors. You know,
and Montreal,
what, I mean?
What a great city.
Oh, that's a great city. That's one of my favorites. That's a favorite city of mine. Yeah, I love it.
You want me to continue reading this letter or what?
No, I don't care. I think we got it all.
I think we got enough. You know what? I think we got enough.
Patrick, it's a great question. It's a question man have asked himself and of God for years. No, go ahead.
Yes, yes, okay. Please.
He has a question for the three of us and me.
Oh.
Who? He's 9 years into teaching high school. I taught for almost 8 years. He teaches science and chemistry. He spent most of this current year revamping and reworking his materials and relearning and defending to himself how I do what I do.
I see.
He has a style of teaching. He's feeling shook with his style of teaching. From the start, he was given the same advice he's often heard given to comedians. It takes about 10 years to really know what you're doing up there. So he's trying to improve. And he's working to get his variety of hours as tight as possible, so to speak. He's working on his set as a teacher.
Mm.
And so he says, every time that you three have spoken about your experiences with education, varied as they are, he's really leaned in and wanted to know more. So here's his question. What worked about school for the three of you, if anything? What did you take from school, and what do you wish you could have gotten from a teacher, if anything, that maybe would have improved your experience? He'd love to hear our thoughts. With his thanks, Patrick.
Oh, interesting. Wow. These are deep questions. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, it's an education episode. We're gonna find out how you guys learn, what you wish you'd learned from school, and see what sort of advice we can give him as a teacher who's trying to improve himself as a teacher over time.
This is the first I've heard this letter. I think, Adam, you hadn't heard it either.
Never heard this letter. This is news to me.
This is tough. All right. Well, all right.
But we not only are experts, we played teachers on TV. We know what we're talking about. So we'll come back in the second half. We'll answer this. But I'm going to premiere something here. On the Grolic Saves the World. We all know we pivoted to a weekly format this year. There's been some style shifts. The episodes can go in a number of different directions. With these letters, with advice to the listeners, I've enjoyed the episodes, but I do think it's lacking a competitive edge. So I propose this episode, we will offer our advice and we will crown a winner of best advice on this episode.
I like it.
And the way we do that is that each of us gets to vote for who we thought did the best, and you cannot vote for yourself. So I can vote for Andrew, I can vote for Ben, and vice versa. In the event of a tie, we will lower the Ron shield, we will bring him out, he will crown a winner in the event of a tie. So at the end of each episode, we will not only help Patrick, we will have helped ourselves by learning that I am the best at giving advice, and that I think in the end of the year, the wins will reflect that.
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you think? Accept?
I'm about to advise your ass off, dude. Accepted.
Oh, okay. I guess I don't really have a choice because...
Yeah, two out of three Grolic vote wins. Ben, this is the new format for a letter episode. We will crown...
Let's take a break. We got to take a break to pay some bills. If you're a Patreon member, enjoy the ad-free break. But if you're not a Patreon member, check out our Patreon. You're about to hear a little ad for it. We'll see you shortly in Act 2, so stick around.
No, the problem is that it's just people asking for advice. It just seems needlessly competitive.
It's just a loser doing loser talk.
All right.
Hey, Do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grolic Saves.
I do want to sign up. We are back for Act 2, and thanks to the magic of podcasting, roughly 72 seconds have elapsed. We have a listener letter from Patrick in Montreal trying to better himself as a teacher, has consulted 3 fictional teachers from television on how they might go about doing that. So the gist of this letter boils down to these questions here at the end. They want to know about our varied education experiences, like what worked about school for us, what took us out of it, what do we wish we could have gotten from a teacher, if anything, that could have improved that experience. So let's dig into this. And as Adam said, this isn't just us yammering advice. This is competitive advice. Yep. Competitive professional advice of us will be the best at.
We will enter the advice dome. Only one will emerge victorious, bathed in the blood.
Exactly. Bloodied tongue hanging out of their mouth from talking so much.
Arm dislocated from the fight.
We're okay with that because that is what we signed up for when we became Truth Gladiators.
Truth Gladiators.
This sounds like a problematic website. Yeah. Ben, is this where you've been getting your news from
it's
lately?
Truthgladiators.com.
is this where you're suspicious of vaccines?
Yep.
So I'm just going to punt the ball at someone. Adam, why don't you kick it off? You proposed this competitive angle. You can dive into the pool first.
Okay, well, there's so many questions from Pat, you know what I mean? But it seems to me like the macro issue here is Pat is 10 years into teaching and wants to do better or change it up, change their approach,
right,
because they feel like they could be doing better. So first of all, I want to say kudos to Pat, because how many teachers do you know that are just like complacent, punching a clock, trying to get to whatever 30 years so they can retire with a pension and like, fuck it, they don't care. They just do the core curriculum. I had so many teachers that were just bored and tuned out, and you could tell it immediately. So kudos to Pat for being thoughtful and your approach and wanting to do better. Already, I think you're better than most teachers for doing just that.
Just for even caring. I agree with that totally.
Yeah, questioning how you're doing it and for wanting to do better and for caring and being self-aware. That makes you a good person and teacher. I can tell immediately. What are you laughing at, Andrew? What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at producer Ron's note in the chat that you're pandering to the witness. And I agree, but you know, whatever it takes to eke out that win, whatever it takes.
Patrick is not voting, is he? Patrick isn't voting. So maybe I'm just genuinely complimenting one of our listeners.
Okay.
Ron,
proceed.
Maybe you should go back beneath the surface, because I know we can't hear you, but we can see your fucking group chat. And I'm wondering if we can cloud that signal so it doesn't work from under the ocean.
This Truth Gladiator is very, very contentious with the audience. He has a very contentious relationship with the people listening.
Ben, you had something productive. You want us to go around and say what?
Well, there were these 3 questions beforehand that I believe Patrick was asking us about our own paths and pasts. And so I think we should answer these questions before we give our advice to Patrick as to how to better. That'd be just my suggestion, because honestly, I'm curious, even though I know all of this.
Well, so Patrick asked a number of questions, Ben. So what do you think we should say? Like our academic experience or like...
Well, he asked these questions. What worked about school for you, if anything? Let's go around. Let's answer these questions real quick for us. Adam, what about school worked for you? if there was anything. Did you do well in school?
I did great in school. I was a very good student. I enjoyed school. Like, I liked going to school all the time. I liked the social element of it. I liked learning, and I liked trying to get the A. I was into it. It was like a competitive thing for me, and I wanted to fucking be in the top of the class. Like, I had that in me, and I wanted to. I went to like a really shitty private school that was very hard, where the education was great, but I hated it socially. Then I went to a public high school where the education wasn't as great, and then I loved it socially. And then I went to college, and I had a very strange experience, but walked away from loving college. And then I was done with school. I never went back to school again after that. I did do some substitute teaching right when I got to Denver. So I had about 2 years of substitute teaching that hardly qualifies me as a teacher.
Oh, shit. I forget about that. What did you teach mostly?
Dude, I taught everything. I taught everything. Because like, I got good at teaching little kids, and specifically like Mexican kids who speak Spanish. So I would teach in bilingual classes like 4, 5, 6. ECE in those classes. And then a lot of teachers realized I was like capable and spoke Spanish. So they'd start requesting me for their vacation days. So I'd get like 2 week stints at schools while the teacher was off on vacation. And I'd get to like know these classes. And then one teacher did that a bunch, and they had a position opening up for a paraprofessional in their class, like their assistant. And they asked me if I wanted it. And I said, yes, I took the job. And then literally the next week, I got offered a full-time writing job at Westword. And so I had to, at the newspaper I wrote for. So I had to go back and be like, I'm sorry, I want to be a writer more than I want to be a teacher. So I was almost a full-time teacher. I had said yes, but then I stepped it back.
You were also almost a writer. Andrew, what worked about school
swish
for you? if anything, Andrew, what about you?
What worked for me? Not much.
Not going. Well,
I shouldn't say that because I was a great student for all of my educational career up to sophomore year in high school. I went to a very tiny Lutheran elementary and junior high, even though my family wasn't Lutheran. That's where I went. There were like 6 kids in my 8th grade class. It was wild, but
really,
I got a great
dating, huh?
Yeah. yeah, pretty small pool. Yeah. I didn't have to worry about that. I was not dating anyone in 8th grade, but despite the fact I had a ripping mustache. So I got, you know, great personalized attention and small classes and a good education, I guess, except where science would be concerned in a Lutheran school. But that all worked for me. In high school, what worked for me was kind of, I don't know, the teachers that could like see that I was checked out and not interested. It just needed to be things that I was interested in. Like, I took a science fiction literature class where we wrote science fiction stories, crushed it. Never missed a class, killed it. Art class, loved it. I've never missed an art class. So it was like the things that I was interested in, those worked for me. And the things that I was not interested in did not work for me at all.
When did you leave school?
Oh, I never left school. I just got kicked out every semester from sophomore year through
for
senior year.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. For ditching class so much that they kept just booting me out.
Sounds like you got an A in being cool.
Yeah, I was down to the cattails smoking cigarettes with my friends.
Why are you smoking heard about in the cattails and smoking cigarettes?
Stop smoking in the cattails, dude.
The name of this That's podcast where we smoke, is dude. Smoking in the cattails. Ben, what was your educational journey, and how did it lead you to the cauliflower ears that you have today?
Yeah, congrats to you for being brave enough to put headphones on right now. How painful for you.
Shut up. Anywho, what worked for school? Well, I went to Catholic grade school, Holy Infant Jesus, shout out.
Is that the name?
That was the name of my grade school, was Holy Infant Jesus.
Like, it sounds like the last thing a trucker yells when losing their brakes on black ice. Holy Infant Jesus!
Nope. I went to Holy Infant Jesus, which I'm sure is now a sex scandal factory, given that there's about 25 years elapsed. Kids are just starting to come forward. Thanks, Catholic Church. And I went to a very small high school in Maine, Winthrop High School, Go Ramblers. We were the Winthrop High School Ramblers. What worked for
Can
me?
Can I tell
in
you, I made $150 on the Ramblers last night on DraftKings.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Girls volleyball.
Ah, well, those kids are all going to piss hot. I can tell you that. Not a single one of them is not on growth hormone.
Whatever. Money in the bank, dude. Bet on the Ramblers.
No, I went to school. This is true. My mascot, our high school mascot, was a broken down bus. It was a bus with its tires popped and its tongue hanging out and like crossed eyes. And it was like just all shitty.
What was the name of this mascot?
What was his name?
Rambler? The name was the Ramblers.
Is that what a Rambler means? A broken down bus is a Rambler?
No, a Rambler is somebody who wanders. But the story behind it was that when our school was started, it was so small it didn't have its own gymnasium. So every game was an away game. We had to go away for every game. And
so this
goofy bus got you
there, huh?
And it was like run down flat tires. I have a photo of it. I'll have to find it and I'll send it to Ron. Yeah, it was bonkers.
That's like minor league
baseball.
It
was very, very, it was also very prophetic as to the level of education one would have got at Winthrop High School, which was a tired, broken down form of just exhausted regurgitation of crap. I didn't connect with it, most of it, except I, like Andrew, connected with drama. I was very involved with the theater program, music. I had a civics class that I loved. Debate and politics was something that I got a really good. The rest of it I flunked, but and I ended up having to go back and get my diploma. After I didn't walk with my class, I didn't get my diploma. I never wore a cap and gown or anything. But I will say I flunked my physics class. I took it twice, but he may have been one of my favorite teachers. I didn't do the required work. I didn't do well in the class, but he cared and he tried and he made the material interesting. What I struggled with all the time was homework. I just was not good at the homework part of it and sitting still. I'm just not good with that, as you both have witnessed. So I think that was what didn't work. So like, I think what I wish I could have gotten from other teachers, and you guys can answer this, is just, and more from that is more hands-on learning, more lab type like stuff, more things. Cause I did well in labs. I had to be standing, and then senior year, I got moved to a vocational school and I did very well at that. I went to a vo-tech school. So halfway through the day, I'd get on a bus and they'd be like, see you later, morons. And they'd send us to a school where my entire senior year, I got to run a cable access television station.
Dude,
that's
Ben
what
was telling me about this when we were driving around Maine this December. Tell our listeners what you did that was the most popular thing ever on this cable access network. This kills me.
I produced a program, I call it a program because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I produced a program that aired for hours, 2 or 3 hours blocks. That was just, I would go out and I would set up a camera on a tripod and I would film foliage. Just trees blowing and incredible Maine foliage. And then I would sync it with classical music and I would loop this for hours and I put it on. It became the most popular thing we ever did on that. People, if it stopped, people would
it
be
was
like,
called High as Fuck with Ben Rohr.
People were like, where's the leaves? Like people loved
the leaf show.
And I did that as a senior in high school and I got paid to drive around the state and get fucked up and lay in a field and just take hours of footage of leaves blowing. It's the best job I ever had. And Andrew, what would have improved it for you? Or what did you wish you had got more from teachers?
So what took me out of high school was not high school. It was kind of my own doing. As we've established, as long-time listeners of this pod will know, I used to have full-strength ears, big old ears, big old honking ears. And in between my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I got plastic surgery on my ears to put them back. My parents were like, we'll either buy you an Apple IIe computer, a used car, or we'll get your ears fixed. It was like a true crossroads of life for future Andy. Choose one of these paths. And I chose the ears because I was a freshman in high school and stupid. And I thought that that meant something important for my life. And I didn't like being teased. So I got the plastic surgery on my ears. And it like radically changed my interactions with other people. I had so many friends after that. And so all I wanted to do was hang out with friends and be social in high school.
So you'd been like,
that was something I didn't really have.
Because you were like self-conscious.
Yeah. I had literally like one friend all my freshman year, just awkward, got teased for my big ears, you know, just kind of, but I got straight A's. I was like crushing it grade wise. And then I got my ears fixed and it kind of, I just felt like, oh, well, it was probably, I mean, obviously, you know, I wasn't being teased for my ears, but it also probably let me think like, oh, well, now I can, you know, maybe be more outgoing. But so I just wanted to spend all my time socializing. And once I didn't like a class, I just like didn't want to go to it anymore. And I was like, no one's going to make me go. I'm just not going to go. I hate this class and I'm not going to go. And so I just got in this habit of just ditching and just hanging out with my friends, meeting new friends, just holding court in the cafeteria. I would go to school every day. It wasn't like I was ditching to be at home. I would go to school to hang out with my friends.
You had these sexy new ears. You turn into a high school fuckboy. You forget the books. You just want to be out there being the belle of the ball now that you're all fucking hot.
Yeah.
That's what was going on?
Exactly. But so I don't want, so it's not so much the school, but I will say this, like Ben kind of alluded to it. The fact that I had to take some classes that just didn't work with my brain, like math. I just couldn't. I've never been good with math. I've never anything beyond, you know, basic math. I just don't. My brain shuts down. I get overwhelmed. I get frustrated. I don't like it. It doesn't intrigue me. There are easy tools everywhere in the world for me to get around it. And having to take it, it just made me mad and frustrated. And I was like, I'm just not, why would I go for an hour and sit and feel stupid and frustrated with something that I have no aptitude for? And I don't want to do it. I'm not going to go into a career using math because I fucking hate it. And my brain doesn't sync up.
Could anybody have got through to you though, like a particular teaching style or anything? Do you think that would have got through to you with math?
I think it would be something more applicable of like, okay, look, clearly, you know, you don't need to be learning algebra, advanced algebra, these things. Like, let's take a look at something that you maybe would want to use this applicably in life. Like, why don't we look at like statistics or something that,
yeah,
or maybe you
I
might
agree.
Be interested
My, in. The math class that I did the best at and one of the better classes, the two other ones were I took a typing class. That's the best class I ever took. Was a keyboard class. I can type really, really fast. It helped me get a lot of jobs being able to type. The other one was a business math class. That was an option for people who went to Votech. And I just basically learned like everyday type of math for like calculating how much money is in your bank account and like things like that. Now, this was obviously before we had digital ledgers that do it real time now. I mean, that kind of stuff was like how to weigh
yeah,
your rent.
I guess just having some kind of application for it that made sense would have helped. And math especially, I was like, I will never use this. I still distinctly remember one of my math teachers. She was like, math is the language of the universe. And I was like, well, then I guess I'm the Helen Keller of the universe because I don't get it. Andrew, I don't understand it.
It's low hanging fruit, Andrew. It's low hanging fruit.
I was a sophomore.
Just said, I mean, you're practically blind and deaf and you're as old as she is.
You are the Helen Keller of the universe.
universe.
I am the Helen Keller of this podcast. Yeah. So yeah, I would say that not having some kind of real world application for the things that weren't working for me worked against me for sure.
Was there anything, Adam, where you felt they dropped the ball? You said you liked school, but do you think?
I think, look. The kids you get are the kids you're going to get. Like Andrew was sort of in a place where he wasn't really into school, didn't want to do math and science. There's no like changing that. I think I was just more track driven. In my head, I was like, you want the carrot of good college and that's the path. And I didn't feel rebellious in that way. Like that's something I wanted to succeed in. So I just kept going on the path. I was more willing to try to get the A, even if I didn't give a fuck about the subject. But I think that might be where we could maybe offer advice to Patrick is like Ben, you had mentioned that teacher physics that you failed twice and didn't care for it, but the teacher was
good. Dr. G, man, Dr. G, he was a doctor of physics and he was the man. He was the best.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like I took this chemistry class with Mr. Zaragoza, we called him Z, and like I wound up liking that teacher enough that I took AP chemistry. I don't fucking know a goddamn thing about chemistry, but I enjoyed this teacher and I had to have sciences. And I was like, well, then I'm going further down chemistry lane with this guy.
What made Dr. Z or what made Z such a good
chemistry? Well, this is what I think. Teacher. This is my advice for Patrick.
Okay.
And I don't want you guys glomming on because this is my advice, not yours. And I think this is true with comedy as well. Like, I've talked about this in my one-man show, but I've once heard comedy described as a search to sound like yourself on stage. And I think people like a comedian when they're authentic and it sounds like you're listening to a dude who's just sharing themselves with you really naturally on stage. And I think a big part of that might be teaching as well. If you're just sort of very comfortable in yourself and sharing with your students your personality and wanting to learn about theirs as well and realizing that you can sort of make 50% of the class learning the whatever curriculum and the other 50% of the class engaging with these people, showing them who you are, learning who they are, and forming like individual relationships with these students beyond the teaching, that's when you're really going to start kicking ass. And so I think there's the kids who are be tuned out because they don't like the subject you teach. But if they like you and you listen to them, now they're way more inclined to come on board and learn what you're teaching them. So I guess my advice, and I'm sure this Patrick's already doing it, but like realize it doesn't all have to be curriculum in the book. Get to know your students, show interest in them, and give of yourself, show them who you are. And I think they'll like come along for the ride because they like you. So I think that might be a part of teaching that a lot of teachers forget about is that it's connections just on a human to human level with these kids and not about forcing equations down their throat. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough hurdle to overcome on that first piece of advice. Mm-hmm. From a competitive standpoint, that's tough. That's a tough one to beat, Andrew. Andrew, what do you say?
Yeah, because it's hack, because that's what everyone would say.
I'm going to go do push-ups.
I say,
while you guys battle out for second place.
As a teacher, I think that it helps to show, and I'm kind of assuming that Patrick is a high school teacher. I believe he said as much in the letter. But I think that I'll just say for high school, that's where I ran into trouble. It sounds like that's where maybe Ben hit a little trouble. He did say he was a high school science teacher. I think that teenagers, it's that magical time where you start to think you know everything. I have a teenager right now who's 14, and I see that more and more every day. They're like, oh, their like brain is expanding. They're like, I'm basically an adult who knows everything, even though they're still kids. We know they're kids. We see them and we know they're kids. And I think one of the best things you could do for teenagers is to creatively show them how much they don't know. And I'll never forget this lesson. It was freshman year, a social studies class. The teacher gave us each a blank sheet of paper and he had us draw a line on it. He's like, just draw a line down the middle. And he's like, label that line Broadway. And he's like, now I want you to put a line on this map and label it Colfax. Now I want you to draw a line on this map and label it University. And he just, these are all streets here in Denver, Colorado, where we live. And so we sat there and he had us drawing these things. And then he took them all from us and held them up. And he compared them to a map of our city. And they were so wrong because we had no fucking idea where all these roads were and how they were in relation to each other. And he was like, you don't even understand your own city. You don't even know where you live and where these streets are in relation to each other. How could you possibly know about the world beyond this city? And I never forgot that. And it has stuck with me
kind of my whole life.
It was so effective.
That's amazing. And that's such a cool way of telling you how dumb you are.
Yeah. It was effective. It wasn't like, I mean, he kind of had like a kind of a smirky edge to it. You could tell he was having fun with it. He probably loved that day of his class, but it worked to show like there is something I can get out of this class because you have shown me what I don't know. And now this is your opportunity to fill in that knowledge with that information. And I'll tell you what, it worked because ever since then, I love maps. I love remembering maps. I worked as a bike messenger. I worked off of a map in my pack. I've always prided myself on learning a new city and where things are in relation to each other and how to like navigate them. All from that one lesson that paid off in like realizing what I didn't know. And so if there are creative ways to illustrate to these little burgeoning know-it-alls what they don't know and what an opportunity it is for them to get that from you, like that, there are people who could respond to that because I think that you are working against that. You are working against them thinking, especially in the digital age where they're like, I'll get it on my phone. What the fuck do I need to know about science for? There's got to be creative ways for you to show them how applicable science is and how the understandings of science, the building blocks of our understanding of life and how those gaps are there to be filled in by your class. I think there will be kids who will be receptive to that.
Okay. Mm.
Damn.
Interesting.
I'll tell you what, y'all, we got to rotate going last because the last spot in a competitive advice section is fucking hard. It's enough. A minefield. How do Fair I not enough. Become a hack? But I think they're both great. Here's my thought on this. High school is not about what you are teaching. It has never been about what you are teaching. It is not about what you are teaching. It is about those fucking kids. That is the entire fucking job. Your job as a teacher should be to make kids feel good about themselves. That is the job of a teacher, to me, in my opinion, because they are required by law to be there. So they may not connect with your information. We already know there are people who learn different ways, who connect with math and science easier over languages or over art. We already know there are a bunch of different learning styles. To me, higher education is the place where you really get into the minutiae and the nuances of whatever field it is that you are teaching. But to me, high school, and part of why I connected so much with Dr. G was he was this guy who, even though I was not doing well in his class, made sure to tell me that letter grade is not indicative of your intelligence. You are an incredibly bright kid, and I've enjoyed having you in this class, and you are going to do great things in your life. Believe in yourself. Like, that resonated far more with me than anything else. Like, that was where I had been told by an English teacher, one of my English teachers in high school, that I was not going to amount to anything. That stuck with me as a deterrent for going to school, simply because I did not love him. And I loved reading and I loved writing. I was already writing lyrics and poetry by that point. I was writing in bands. I shied away from the class that was teaching exactly what I loved most because of the asshole running it. And I went to science and spent more time around that person simply because they made me feel good about myself. And I respected the shit out of him. And I believed in myself when I left, even after having not done well in that class. I'm not saying you have to just give participatory ribbons or anything. I'm not expressing that. I'm not saying that at all. But I do think, remember, for me, the point is to your kids are the most important thing. These kids go home sometimes to shitty homes, to parents who don't support them, to parents who talk down to them, to friend groups that are toxic and all of that. Simply being a light in their life is a huge, huge, huge thing that could influence their life for the better. That to me is, I think, what teachers forget. They're like, we forget it as comics. My mind is a material. No, it's to give people a good time. Like, that's what they come to a comedy club to laugh and have a good time. That's our job. And as a teacher, your job is to be there for kids, to watch out for them, to try to build them up, even if they don't connect as much with what you're teaching. That could be just the way they learn. And you're in, you know, that's my opinion. Be there for your kids. Be real, as honest, and be as raw and real about yourself and down to earth. And I think that you can't miss with that. That's my opinion.
Damn, man, that's beautiful. That's very good. I really like that. Unfortunately, it was a regurgitation of what I said.
No, it was not a regurgitation,
he made it still seem like a little bit more raw. I don't know. Ben's was more like boots on the ground.
Well, he had time to workshop it a little bit. He took what was the truth of mine and sort of added his
own. He had some time. Yeah.
I did have time to work on it, Adam. Yeah. And I want to say that I'm not saying that what you wrote was not an influence to me. Mm-hmm. I would say you're the Joy Division to my Sex Pistols. Mm. And all I did was made it.
And that no one is listening to either one. Yeah.
Not adults, at least. You wear the shirt.
You wear the shirt, but you're not listening.
You're not listening to that.
You're not putting it on.
Yeah, no, you're listening to the new Hives record. no, I think these were all good examples, but I think we do have to vote on this.
And more importantly,
but I do think,
not pandering.
Shout out to Patrick.
Yeah, not pandering. Shout out to Patrick.
Just for being interested in changing and being interested in connecting with these kids, like Adam said, I do absolutely tip my cap, because we as parents, we see our teachers and we see the different teaching styles and teachers. And there's certainly teachers phoning it in. There's certainly teachers that are in over their heads and exasperated and even having that desire to be like, I want to connect with these kids. Because I can't imagine trying to teach kids in this digital age. And
teaching is like thankless, it's insane. And it's underpaying, and it's a hard fucking field.
And it's every day under attack. Yeah. It's under attack constantly by a group of people who want to belittle those people who want to intellectualize your kids, who want to make them smarter. And also, you're teaching science, which is a field that is become a punchline to a certain group of people. Not that it's a series of systems in place to hopefully fight against our own biases and to find a way in which we gather answers in a way that is not shaped by our own personal biases. So, like, you're fighting an uphill battle. So, yeah, what they said, thank you for trying to be better at this. But that is not the point of this podcast. We're not here for you, Patrick.
The point is that one of us gave the best advice.
We're here to see who's best at this. And that's
time for vote. I will first in voting in advice. And I mean, just by the fact that Ben took what I did, put in some flourishes, said it louder, said it different, I have to vote for Andrew. Andrew's advice was great.
Thank you. I'll take the vote however I get it. I don't care.
Just so that I didn't have to hear my thoughts again. I liked hearing something new. So Andrew, for, you know, contributing to the conversation, I give you the win between Ben and you.
I'll take it. However I can get a vote.
Adam, Andrew, why don't you go and just a reminder, you're not allowed to vote for Adam. That's kind of weird. Yourself.
I can't vote for Adam.
Nope, because Adam already voted.
This rule system's all over the fucking place.
What? I can't.
No, but Adam voted, so you're not allowed to vote for him. That's how it works.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is a tough vote because I feel like your advice, I would put it in the same camp of like connecting to your students on this human level. looking beyond the grades. So, gosh, who said it best?
Who said it first? Who had the original idea?
You don't have to plead your case. I'm voting Adam. Okay. I'm voting Adam. All right, Ben.
Okay. I see how it is here. I will be the only person with real heart and a real constitution in this. I will cast my vote for the person that I think contributed the most to this conversation. Patrick, you have won today's advice challenge.
No.
There's
Patrick
not a single
win.
Rule saying that it can't be the reader.
Patrick's already a winner.
The reader didn't give any advice.
I'm sorry, the writer, the person writing in. No, I will vote for Adam. And not because I didn't agree with Andrew's. Andrew, I thought that it was great. Adam, I agree with yours. It was hard. Yours was the most in line with, I think, with you were more in line with what I would say.
For sure.
I would go even more hard line. That was what I was saying is your attention should, I think the vast majority of the attention of teachers should be focused on making kids feel good about themselves because they don't get that in a lot of other avenues when you're a teenager. And I think being relatable and being somebody they can trust and confide in who sees them as valuable is a huge thing. So I think you nailed it. I think as the inaugural competition of best advice, Adam, I think you took hold the W on this one.
Thanks, man. And I really appreciate you being generous enough to give me the win after I gave you so much shit. This is a new format. I got to be more diplomatic. It's like the TV show Survivor. Like we're playing against each other. But then if you're voted out, you are on the jury. So I can't really just be dig the knife into you too hard. And I appreciate that. I'm going to learn from this one and be a bit more diplomatic as we go through an effort to
be the Z that lives in all of us. Do what chemistry teacher Z would do and don't vote for yourself. I'm also somebody who knows where I came from. You know what I mean? Mm. I know where I'm born from. I Russian teacupped my way out of you. It goes, Adam was the big cup. Open it up. There's Andrew inside. There I am.
The lesson that we can say to Patrick, the advice we have is be there for your students. Don't worry so much about the curriculum. Worry more about these kids and relating to them. And that will endear you to them. And they'll be more inclined to listen to what you're saying because of that. And Andrew suggests that you should have some sort of weird intellectual throwdown on day one where you show them how superior you are in a weird category that they couldn't
not at all
understand
what I said,
because they can't drive yet. They're supposed to know the fucking
sixth
grade.
What I said.
They're 14
and
years
and
old.
I'm sad
you
that
know
you
streets better. Congratulations.
You
Congratulations.
Absorb,
you know the streets better. You fucking 40-year-old man who can drive. These are 14-year-olds. They barely know their fucking neighborhoods. So anyway, do something like that.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the
Andrew's
point. Andrew's
was,
know your
get plastic surgery, get cool, check out.
Start
that was what Andrew is. Start fucking fast and hard and check out. That's
yeah.
Yeah. Well, yep. Patrick, we've said it.
Thank you so much for writing.
Thank you for writing in. Thank you so much for what you do and for being a teacher and for undertaking such a hard job. You fucking rule.
As guys who got paid so much money to do it on television, we understand the struggle, my man.
Wasn't that crazy? We got paid like 50 times more than what this person does.
So we
to
get
just
it, dude.
Imitate it.
We fucking get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To do the opposite of teaching, to make people stupider?
Yes. Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick. For anybody listening, if you have thoughts on your experiences, please chime in on social media, or if you subscribe to Patreon, let us know. We love to hear that stuff. We'll discuss it maybe in an Act 4, some of your thoughts.
If you need advice or you have questions you want three experts in literally any field to answer, we are here for you. We are here for you.
And let's listen to some live stand-up comedy. Let's cleanse the palate. We talked about how to make kids smarter. Let's make them fucking dumber. Huh? Let's do that. I'm just kidding.
This with stand-up?
Yeah, some stand-up. But I'm just kidding. This next comic, they are very intelligent and then made the very, very intellectual decision to focus almost entirely after that on stand-up comedy. Kudos to them. Yep. But it's our benefit because they are so funny. Everybody, please enjoy this clip from Tanya Sabrina. And when we return, third actors, you're on deck. Best third act in the biz. We've got good news. We've got more show. And we may tease the next episode's challenge, so stay with us.
One thing that makes dating particularly weird for me is I have a PhD in physics, and guys don't know how to handle it. Like, I got a PhD in physics because, like, I love understanding how the universe works, and I hate getting laid. You know? Like, the other night, I was at a party, and I was telling this guy that I have a PhD in physics, and I work in quantum computing, and then he started explaining to me how quantum computers work. Yeah. So I slept with him. Yeah. That will teach him. He was wrong, by the way. He was wrong. He was British, and real story, his name was Clint Romney. Like, initially I was afraid to make out with him because he's British, you know? But, yeah, like they have the extra row of teeth. But he had moves, so I took the British guy home, and then when I woke up, all my artifacts were gone.
Welcome, everyone, to the third act. Thank you for being here. Congrats on hitting FF a bunch of times on your phone in little 15-second segments to get most of the way through the episode to this point.
Here's what you heard. I want to do an impression of what they heard.
Sure.
How about... third act.
Matt, the master impressionist.
And that's how they hear the episode.
That was very good, but I wish you had included one little fast-forwarded snippet of your sexual whining. So take another crack.
I am fine. Third act. Boom. That's how you hear it. Yeah.
That's it. Perfect. Yeah, perfect impression
episode.
Of what you guys just heard. Thank you for being here. There are some thanks we want to put out there. I want to thank the letter writer for sending in that letter. We love these letter writing episodes. We really like giving you advice, and I think we've really nailed it with this competitive advice thing, dudes. I think this is the way to go. So to our listeners,
it's the only way to go.
It's the only way to go.
It's capitalistic. You know what I mean? Like, let's throw some capitalism into helping.
Well, and also there's a winner, but more importantly, there's two losers. And that is what I like in any content I consume, someone losing. And I think,
well,
you know,
and I lost, and so did Andrew, and we have companionship. Yeah. And
so
we're
winning,
together.
Losing, companionship. But call to action. Yeah. If you
at least I have like a companion at my level. Yeah. You're alone where you are, but Ben and I,
yes,
we have something that bonds us.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. In fact, we have a losers only dinner we go to.
Andrew and I, since we've lost together, have been sharing a bed. So,
oh, well, listen.
We call it the loser's bed.
Nobody ever said the mountaintop was full of friendship. It takes a special breed. To forge ahead alone, to see what others have not seen. But that is my first win in competitive advice and a call to action to our listeners. If you have anything in your world that needs improving, hit us up and we can offer our advice. And an additional thanks goes to all the great teachers out there. It is a hard job and we appreciate you doing it. And to all the great teachers who we had in our lives, thank you so much. You matter immensely in ways you don't even know.
Dr. G. What up, Dr. G? What up? Thanks for flunking me and believing in me.
I like to think that was Warren G that did that.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Warren Regulators.
G taught you physics in Maine.
Yeah, he did.
It all tracks. Yep. It is time in the episode for some good fucking news. First piece of good news, though, I'd have to say, I won. There was no tie, so we don't have to summon in producer Ron to be the tiebreaker. And that's that's good news in itself. You know what I mean?
Well, also, if you want to hear producer Ron's thoughts, because he was a teacher, as a substitute teacher for a bit and whatnot. And his,
I think he was a real teacher. I think he was an all the way teacher.
Yes. He was an all the way teacher, not a halfway teacher, because there ain't no thing as halfway teachers.
And I can't remember if he was an all the way teacher or an around the way teacher. You know what I mean? Like, I need an around the way teacher. I feel like he might have been.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, you have to tune into the fourth right act of way on to, Patreon to find out all yes. that stuff. But the yes, point is,
subscribe
Ron has
to the Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. Ron's got some very good teaching advice he's willing to share. Fourth act is always a lot of fun, and we will be on there as well. So on Patreon, get on there, and you get the fourth act of this podcast. But does anybody else have any good news they'd like to share?
I've got a good – I wanted to bring this one because this is for you, Adam. And actually, Andrew, I guess, too, as well, because Andrew's a little bit of a bird nerd himself.
Oh, my God. The winds keep on coming.
No, not really.
The winds keep
never
on
mind.
Coming.
He's not. there was a great story about this person just walking along a beach in Oregon. I think it was at sunrise, I believe. It was very early in the day. And the person is walking along the beach and spots a bird, takes a couple photos of it, thinking it's a very beautiful bird. Then turns out this bird is a very, very mega, super rare species of bird called the blue rock thrush. And it has never been seen in the United States. It has never been seen in the continental U.S. or Alaska. It is indigenous to Asia and parts of Europe.
Smash cut to 20 years from now when this invasive species is like the only bird you see.
Andrew, this is some good fucking
news. You're right.
News.
You're right. I'm
ben,
sorry.
I love
I'm sorry.
That you brought this story to us. I love that you presented it to me as if I hadn't heard it. In what world do you think I have not come across this story? You don't think everyone was texting? You don't think I kind of am that
guy in Oregon?
You're
a fucking bird pussy, and I know that, and I should have
bird
known.
Pussy.
He's a bird pussy, and I know this. And I
that's the main term for birding.
He's
you
want to
go bird pussy?
Look at that guy with his binoculars. Hey, put your this bird, though, they said there was one other time that they thought that perhaps one had been seen, and it was in 1997, and then they wrote it off as being likely a missighting or just a misidentification because this bird is so rare.
Exactly. It turns out in 97, they saw Ben's band Blue Rock Thrush, not the actual bird. So it was a sort of misidentification, just a cross.
But we were on tour with Blue Oyster Cult.
Right.
And it was the Blue Rock Thrush Blue Oyster Cult tour.
Right.
The Blue Period tour. And so
there was some confusion there, but this bird was seen and confirmed. And yeah, that rules. That's a crazy.
Yeah, it's a grail bird, apparently. This is a very rare bird for birders. It's a big deal. And this dope, just like walking down the beach, is like, man, look at that. I'll take this picture, post it on a thread. And everybody's like, holy fuck. And it's an adorable photo. We should post it up on the Patreon because this is a cute little bird, a little fat little bird with all kinds of
first can we reinforce the Patreon door so it doesn't get blown down when we post up this picture of the blue rock? I'm worried about the architecture of the Patreon when so many people are trampling each other to get in and see this
jealousy.
Fucking picture.
It stinks. As Adam says, it stinks really bad.
It stinks.
It does.
Ben, I love
I'm just saying
story.
You could bring some good news for me once in a while.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm
maybe
sorry.
One,
because I, the,
maybe
the
throw
shape,
me. Maybe
the
throw
shape
me a
of
bone.
Dice are set in stone. They've been set like that for decades. No one's changed it. If anybody...
That's not even true. That's not even true.
Dice
There's
fight.
All kinds of creative dice out there. All right.
Anyway, that's our good fucking news for the day. Anybody ready for this? Andrew, you've been sassy and you've been quite actually a fucking asshole this entire show. So can you handle doing this song or are you going to ruin this as well?
Can we do AI it? Are we going to have to AI your plug song because of your shitty attitude?
Yeah. Go ahead. AI it. Auto-tune it.
Go ahead, Andrew. Give it to us.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Yes, there. Andrew, you're going to start anyway. What do you got? What you got?
Oh, yeah, I've got some shows coming right around the bend. May 15th, I'll be at the Bug Theater with our friend Dave Stone, who's hilarious. So Come on through to the Bug and see a mid-month show. And then Saturday the 18th, I'm going to be headlining at 14er Brewing. They're launching a new show there, and I'll be closing it out. So if you want to come down, check that out. That's at 14er Brewing in downtown Denver, Colorado.
Well, right on, right on. You should all go see that. I've got next week, the week between the 15th and the 18th, Spells has a run of shows. Our good friend Seth Anderson from Canada is coming down. Wonderful singer-songwriter. He's going to be doing some shows with us. So May 15th, we'll be at the Squire Lounge in Denver. May 17th, Spells will be at Goose Town Station in Golden. And then we will be at Oscar Blues in Colorado Springs on Saturday, May 18th. And get your tickets. Come dance with us. Prancy dancy time. Come on, Adam. What do you got?
Keep the prancy dancy going all the way to Minneapolis. I'm putting on a show at Sisyphus Brewing June 7th and 8th. Not comedy, funk. I've started a funk band. It's just me.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it's
hell
just
yeah.
me. It's a bass and me, and it's kind of rap funk stuff. And I'm doing it June 7th and 8th in Minneapolis at Sisyphus Brewing. I'll tell a few jokes,
wow.
But mostly it's the premiere of my new one-man funk project. Funk
Adam,
it up.
Watch out. G-Love and Special Sauce.
Yeah. It's mostly Sublime covers. It's really kind of out there shit, but I think people are going to love it.
Wow. You should do some Cake covers. Reluctantly crouched at the starting line.
Cake rules and Sublime sucks, so you ruined my funny.
Well.
But I want to hear more of Ben's impression of that. That he
engines
was
thumping in time. Our live show comes up on May 25th with Matt Knudsen and Caroline Williams. She'll be there as well.
You sound like an Oompa Loompa
people asking for refunds. Like tickets that were purchased for our live show are being returned right now.
That is our live show, though, is happening on May 25th, Saturday, May 25th. As always, last Saturday of the month, and this month it is headliner Matt Knudsen and Caroline Williams. And I checked, and tickets are already starting to move for this.
Holy
so
shit.
You're going to want to get yours now, because this show is going to kick ass. As always, the tickets for all of these shows that we just mentioned are down below in the show notes. Who wants to try to beat the best time for these right now?
I don't know if we should do a
13.9.
Or you should
13.9.
Do it as Cake?
Yeah, I think you should do it as Cake.
Okay. All right. Quick credits. Here we go. Producer Ron Wild.
I regret it, and I'm taking it over.
Oh, you were going into the B-52s there for a second.
Ron Doyle's at the starting line.
Oh, God.
Mike Henderson is help recording us live.
Okay.
Theme music brought by Charlie Continental.
And a long jacket.
And you can follow us on social media at Grolix Comedy. It's hard. Nothing rhymes with Continental. You can also support us and get ad-free episodes and all kinds of other perks on Patreon, patreon.com/GrolixSaves. And the next episode, ooh, doggy, we've got a real big surprise for you all. Are we going to do a guest, maybe? We do a guest? Is that
Let's do a guest. Should we do a big guest? Should we do a big
Let's do a super guest. Let's do a super guest.
Let's do Beth Stelling. Let's get Beth Stelling on the
podcast. Whoa! Holy shit! Daddy in the house. Heck yeah.
We'll be back next Tuesday with Beth Stelling. In the meantime, Ben?
Play us out, Charlie!
Your cake was disturbing.
Yeah, that was off-putting.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line.